this one first. And you say, well, you went to a lot of trouble for that. Listen, when I want to tell you this, when I was in the Missionary Baptist Seminary, nobody knew what I believed about the rapture. Nobody. Because the first thing I heard when I got there was a guy out in California, and I'm not going to tell you which church, but he was teaching in seminary, and they were about to not let him teach in the seminary anymore because he taught a seventh trumpet rapture. So I said, well. And I know that you remember, because I'd done there enough, when I'd come over to that part between the first of the week, you know, they all believed in seven years, and I didn't. And I kept my mouth shut about that. Listen, I'm not a disruptor, never have been. And so I knew, you got to get through here. And my carnal man said, you want some good grades? You better not say anything. So I didn't say anything. So I had a carnal reason and a spiritual reason. I didn't tell them. So when I came up here, I didn't tell them at first what I believed. Because we had some people in the church that might have voted me out. And because that seventh trumpet position was unheard of. And the thing, and yet it's the oldest position. And that business of only 3.5 years of tribulation remaining, Daniel's 70th week, the first part had already been fulfilled. That was unheard of. Well, God says you're supposed to walk circumstantially and use your wisdom. And I prayed a lot about it, but I waited until I felt like the people in this church came to realize that I'm very serious about the Word. I do study, and I said, okay. And certain people left the church, not because of me, but not because I taught the seventh trumpet or anything else like that. They just left. You say, well, you going to talk about it? No, I don't talk about stuff like that. Here I am. It just happens. So I knew if I taught that, I was going to be in trouble. So they left. And when they left, I began to teach it. Now, I not only teach it, I prove it. And the people that teach that first of the week position are flat wrong. Now, if you'll take a look on this, in those different colors, and that's why I ran it off in color. I want you to look down at the bottom where it says Egypt. That was known as the Ptolemaic Kingdom. I want you to notice that it's in passionate pink. I want you to notice that, now this is when it was first started. Remember Alexander's empire? He died, fell dead, and he hadn't willed it to anybody, and four generals got it. They divided into four sections. Now down here in the pink was Ptolemy. He was a general. I want you to notice that that pink went all the way up into southern Syria. Okay? Now when you are going to locate something, you have to go back and carefully research everything you do, because when he first organized it is when the prophecy was written. So that means that the king of the south here, see, the Ptolemaic kingdom, everybody became known as, what happened, see this big old stretch through up here of Halloween orange? That was the Seleucid kingdom. Now, this was like it was at first. Then this kingdom here pushed across here and went all the way down and took Jerusalem. Then the Ptolemies came back up and pushed them out of it. Then the Seleucids came back in here and pushed them out of it. And it was like a yo-yo going back and back and forth. You have to take the way it was originally formed. You say, why didn't the other preachers do it? Maybe they just took the word of a bunch of people before that didn't know that what they were talking about, and they put it in a book, and you know if it's in a book, it's got to be right. And I've learned that ain't true, because I put stuff in a book and had to change it. So that ain't right. In any case, this is why I call Israel the king of the south. That's why I call it king of the south. Because at the time of that, the Ptolemaic kingdom took in all of Israel. And the Seleucid kingdom was up north of it. That Seleucid kingdom is known as the Syrian kingdom. The one that comes out of Egypt, the Ptolemaic kingdom, is known as the Ptolemaic kingdom. The Ptolemaic kingdom, Israel was there when it was formed. That's where they split it. And it went all the way up through Israel. So they started calling it, if you read the book of Daniel, go over toward the end of it, it calls the king of the south does this, the king of the north does this, the king of the south does this, the king of the north does that, the king of the south. And what you have to do, you have to understand this before you can be certain of what you're saying. And so it was Israel that's the king of the south, and it is Seleucus, the general, that was the king of the north. That was known as the Syrian kingdom. This down here, later on, came to be known as the king of the south, and that was the king of the north. These two others up here were the other generals, and they never played any large part in all of this. It's just those. You say, well, why is that so important? Are you trying to press them? God forbid. I gave that up. I'm not a kid anymore. But the truth of the matter is, if somebody wants to turn this thing on, when I tell you something, I have researched that thing thoroughly. If you ask me a question about it, I will answer it. If I don't understand it, I'll tell you, well, I'll find out about that. Now, this is the Daniel 11:45. Now, here we have them together into Armageddon. And we have them all coming against Israel. It is at this time that the Soviet Union, who is the land of Magog, comes down. And it is when China comes across and joins. They do not come down and attack Israel at the beginning of the tribulation period. Out of this mess that's coming over there now, you're going to end up with something I'll try to describe in a few minutes. Now, you see all those arrows there? Bring out that worn out Bible you've got, Kenneth. Oh my goodness, you have got a new one. How do you know it's inspired? Well, did you teach him that, Donna? Listen, go over in Ezekiel, the 38th chapter, and go down in verse, nah, I guess it's down about verse 6 or 7, and it starts naming all those nations that are going to initially attack Israel. Well, you just name them.
Persia, Ethiopia.
Wait a minute. I got to have my thumb up for it to be official. I've been watching Donald Thurp. I'm going to shape this bunch up. Donald Thurp. Anyway.
Persia.
Okay, that's the first one.
Ethiopia.
Okay.
Libya.
Okay.
Verse 6 says Gomer.
Gomer.
All his bands, the house of Togarmah.
The house of Garment, all his band. Okay.
And then it goes all the way down to 13, says Sheba Dedan.
You put that in there, didn't you?
Yeah, that's something else.
Yeah, that's something else. But
9, 10.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
There are 10 toes. Now, those aren't the 10 toes, but they encompass the region. This caused me more trouble than anything I've ever had to do in my whole life. The research I had to put in this, and I wasn't trying to prove something I already believed, I was trying to find out. You remember when I first ran this off, and this thing will start curling up, you know how they are. I had to use real cheap transparencies at first. Notice over here there's Tarshish, the Tarshish Empire. And that was an empire that came out of the what are called Meshach and Tubal. And I went into painstaking labor to prove to you straight out of the Bible with nothing else in Ezekiel that according to the actual carved markers, transplant, put it in the ground. What I'm about to say is true. And according to the scripture in Ezekiel 38, they're true. This right here was Meshach and Tubal. This up here was Gomer. Now, Hal Lindsey and all the rest of them put Gomer up there in Germany. You got to take the time where they were when the book was written. Now, you look up here, and here's Togarmath. You see where Togarmath is. You see where, I can't read the thing, Meshach and Tubal are. That's where Damascus and Syria are now. Then you go over there where Magog is. Magog? Gog is not the chief prince of Magog. He is the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Magog was Russia. Then there was no Russia. They moved on north, took over that territory up there, and that hasn't changed. It's still Russia. And Persia, up here, was what we call Iran. And over here on the east of Israel, Israel's in white there, you got Ammon, Moab, and Edom. That particular section there is Jordan. And you go down here and you got Egypt and Dedan. Over here you got ancient Libya. I named all of them out of the book of Revelation and other places. But when it came down here to Egypt, I didn't include Egypt and Dedan as coming up and attacking in the first attack where Israel is attacked. Then 135 days begins and they're pushed into the Negev and they stay down there for 1,260 days. And then I said, okay, I'm going to use this diagram to show them something. Egypt's going to be conquered. So are Ahab, Moab, and Edom. So is Persia. I chose Ethiopia, which is now Sudan, to be one of the ten toes. And then when I got over in here, I said, okay, how big is his final kingdom going to be? You're looking at it. You're looking at it. It goes all the way over into Afghanistan. And by that time, he will have built his empire, the last empire of Antichrist. If I hadn't put so much time in there, I would say, well, you know, whatever you want to believe. Well, I still say that. But you better believe what I'm telling you, because this is just the way it's going to come down. And no ifs, ands, or buts. Now, I may have a few things in here a little messed up. I don't know. But what I've done is I went along, I've kept the same basic pattern. And as I went along, I have told you what each one was, how it was, the whole thing, and I've gone into tremendous detail to prove it to you. Now, here's another thing I want you to know. I am not bragging on myself. It sounds like it, and I hate it because I'm over that. I'm finished with that side of my personality. It stinks. And so I'm just telling you this because not one preacher has ever challenged or debated me. Now, they may have something. They may have wanted to. But David Robinson said this about me, and he's right. He said, if you are going to debate Brother Tom McElmurray, because see, David, he had me in class. He said, you had better get your cards together, and you had better get your ducks in line. And that's why they don't debate me. That's why they won't challenge me to my face. It's because of that. Well, you say, then something's wrong. No, nothing's wrong. They did that to every prophet that was telling the truth. I'm not a prophet, but I interpret the prophets. And I'm not a popular man in the American Baptist Association. And the reason is, I'm responsible to God. And when I finally came up here and I said, I'm going to stay right here unless God moves me. And he hadn't moved me. And God used you as a base to send me all over the world. And I was able to buy tickets and stuff like that. I made the places I was going to go pay for the ticket. I never took any money from this church in my life, and I've been accused of that. That's not true. And I paid for all the stuff the church voted to let me take what I was going to use out of the fund that I would build up out of the sales of the tapes. So I've been accused by church members in this church that I took money from the church. That's the truth. Now I'm going to tell you why somebody's not going to bring anything up about me in church. I've got witnesses. That's why. And I can tell you exactly where it came from and exactly when it came from. But I told you, you come to me and say, I'm going to bring it up before the church. I'll say, what did I do? You'd say, you know. I'll say, I'm sorry. Then what are you going to say? You're not going to do anything, are you? And God only gave that rule for people who were so determined to be right and to be in control, He gave it to them so they could work it out. I'm not worried about anybody ever bringing charges against me before this church, because they'll be based on lies. And the horrible thing is, I can prove every one of them is not the truth. All that glitters is not gold. I may be a little dull after being here for 41 years, but I'm telling you, if you're going to challenge me, you better get your cards together. Otherwise, go behind my back, because that's the only way you're ever going to get me. Prophecy updates. King of the North, Syria. King of the South, Israel. Daniel 11:40-43. And at the same time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries. When I first came up here, this was one of the first things I taught first Ezekiel. And I taught what you've already seen. But you notice that I've strengthened it and I put a lot of color and stuff into it, and I've left no doubt. But I did teach the same thing. I had old torn up slides and different things, and I had to preach it straight out of the Bible. Didn't use anything. But they taught me in Arkansas Tech that you remember 65% of what you see and hear, but only 10% of what you hear, and it's the truth. And God didn't call me to teach stuff to fly in and through your ears. And God gave me the idea for this, if you want to know the truth. In any case, he says, and so the king of the south. Now, I told you when I first came up here, I said, this is the king of the south, Israel, teaching, and he's going in against the king of the north, which will be Syria, greater Syria. And I said, when he does this, the Antichrist, who I don't think is Bashar Assad, but I'll admit I'm getting a little concerned. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't mind being wrong. But if it turns out he's the Antichrist, he's just certainly in the right place, but I don't think he is. And so what will happen? The Antichrist is not a dummy. Neither is Bashar Assad. He's lasted a long time. But I still think it'll be another man, and I think this man is going to be directly indwelled by Satan himself. And I think that he will build a trap on the other side of the northern border of Lebanon. Now, I even showed you where they had already pulled back. I already showed you the mountain range they pulled back behind, so Israel will not be able to do what they've done in previous times. They won't be able to do it. And what they'll do, they'll go charging across, make great gains till they hit to that mountain range. And on the other side of it, pointing down at them, Israel is going to be slaughtered. And they're going to turn around and head south. All their armaments, some of it's going to be left behind, and they're going to be going like a bunch of jackrabbits. They will make it down into the Negev, but 2/3 of them are going to perish. Bible says so. 1/3's going to make it down there. Which ones? The ones that God said would go into the Negev. And they will go in there, and when they get in there, God will protect them, and we will back them up. We're going back to the Cold War. I put that out at 5 years ago, where I said, we're going back into the Cold War. And we are going back into the Cold War. And they're saying, we're not going back. Yes, we are. And we're going to load up with ships and everything else and surround Israel just like we had it in the Cold War. And out of the Black Sea, that's why they wanted to get the southern part of the Ukraine. The ships go through there, have free access through the Straits of Istanbul. And Turkey, by that time, is going to be on their side, one of the 10 toes. And they're going to have free access through there. And we're going to sit over there and wait and wait and wait and wait. And finally, that attack is going to come. Do you think that we're going to be able to get troops on the ground over there when all we've got is a situation where we can help Israel get out by air evac? And that's exactly what the Eagle is going to do in carrying them south. And 70% of Israeli population is along the coast. And it's along the coast from guess where? It's along the coast from Bat Yam or all the way up to Haifa. That's where 70% of the population is, a narrow strip. And that's why it says they'll be translated by air. That's what's going to happen. And the rest of them are going to come down the other side. Yes, Israel has a mighty army. But what happened to Israel every time she built up a mighty army? What happened every time? They'd make an alliance with Egypt or somebody else, and the Lord say, okay, fight yourself. And they lose every time. The only thing that's kept Israel there and have kept them strong is the Spirit of God. You say, well, they don't even hear their prayers. How do you know? I said, they do. And he wants to hear one thing from them. He wants them to repent and admit that they should have received the Messiah because he was their God. And they never would admit it. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you study the Bible as long as I have, you don't worry about zip. Why should I worry about global warming? First of all, it's not right. But I don't care. I can prove it's right. I sent something up to Congress. They put it in the congressional record. I can prove it's not right. But why have I never worried about it? Let's say it's right. You think we're going to be here another million years? Think about it. You think we're going to be here another million years? Why am I not worried about global warming? Lord have mercy, even if it was true, I'm getting out of here pretty soon. You say, well, you may be wrong about him coming in the next administration. Oh, I know that. I don't think so, but I know that. I mean, I just think that. I know it. But yeah, I may be wrong. But I got a million years. Lord, I don't even have that long. So if it don't happen then, I'm going to be dead anyway. You say, what kind of reasoning is that? It's called logic. And I took two semesters of it at the University of Arkansas in Little Rock. And I did it because it is true. And you can reason things out. If the Bible is true, it's perfectly logical. And it is perfectly logical. That's what I wanted to know. You see, God is the perfect logician. He's the only one who's perfect. Now let's go on and take a look at them. With horsemen, many ships. Well, they said, where's he going to get all those ships? Well, it wasn't very long until all of a sudden the Soviet Union had got down there and started digging a trench and made them a naval base there in northern Syria. There was an old one there, and they built it back up. Then now they've gone back there and taken it back, and they're heavily fortified, and they're killing all the ones that are coming up there to try to attack it because they're not ISIS. They're the ones that we supported. We're just a bunch of, you know, I think when the statement was made in the Bible, the children of darkness are in their day wiser than the children of light. We got such big open hearts. We got so many liberals that don't want to hurt anybody. If you step on a fly, they make it an endangered species. That's why the Bible said the children in their day are wiser than the children of light, the children of darkness. Well, I'm a conservative. And I'm like a kitten that just got its eyes opened. And I had enough people that taught me about the Bible. And if you want to know the truth, I think Jesus has got more conservative in him than he has liberal. But I think Jesus is a perfect balance. When he takes a life, that's great. When he spares a life, that's great. You could take that for a liberal and conservative view. But whatever Jesus decides, I'm on his side. And that's what I've been trying to figure out since I was about 28 years old. He says, "And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land." Look at any reference you want to see. I looked all these words up, the whole stick. That's Israel. "And many countries shall be overthrown." Could I name a couple? Oh, how about Egypt? How about Jordan? How about, Lebanon has already been overcome. How about Libya? God's going to replace Libya with some dummy to do what he says. He's going to do the same with Ethiopia. But Ethiopia and Libya will be two of the 10 nations, and they will be very sorry they were, because their rulers are not going to get to stay in power. So once you put that all together, you see a man building an empire. Now, "but these shall escape out of his hand." Now, what I'm going to show you now, I did not know when I came up here. I knew this. Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. You can go back to the time that this was written, and you can take a map, and you can lay it over it, and it will show you Edom, Moab, and the children of Ammon, and where they were. You will find it is a perfect fit today, including the part that juts apart and the part that goes down this way of Jordan. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. You say, "Well, Brother McNamara, does it impress you?" Boy, does it impress me that somebody through all age and time could tell us that. But here's what I didn't know. And now it helps me to understand something. "And but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the children, chief of the children of Ammon." Every preacher I knew said, they're gonna flee to Petra. Lord, that's where they're in Petra, if that's the truth, because that's where Petra is. That's absolutely wrong. You see that word escape? It's a Hebrew word. It means just what it says. Escape. Escape out. Escape out. You know where they got to go? Down in the Negev with Israel. You say, "Well, aren't they scared?" No, they're not scared of Israel. They're Semitic. They're Semitic. Esau was down there. They're Semitic. They're going to escape down there, and they're going to fight alongside Israel. Believe it or not, they'll escape into the Negev. You say, "Are you certain?" I'm certain, but I didn't know that when I first came up here. But then I discovered something, and I'll hit that in a minute. "And many countries shall be overthrown, and these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. And he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape." Well, how are they going to escape? Now here's a clinker. Here is a winner. Here is one like Donald Trump would say, here's a winner. See that word escape? It's an entirely different word from the word that's used over there in Jordan. Now that's why I went to the seminary. I didn't go to the seminary to impress anybody. When I was in the National Security Agency, I was going to come back and surrender to preach. And I ran into the only man besides myself in the National Security Agency. His name was Bob Turner. And I went into an intelligence briefing, and I happened to sit down by him. We were sitting there. And he looked over and asked me a question, and I answered back. And we both had Arkansas accents. Mine was more Mid-Eastern, but I've been all over the joint. So we got to talking. He said, where are you going to church? I said, well, I'm going to one up the road here because they don't have a Missionary Baptist church right around here. And I said, it's a scriptural church. They believe what Missionary Baptists believe. And we went there while we were, and I went out and worked on with a preacher all the time. And Lord, I went from door to door. I never did so much door-to-door visitation in my life. I never did anything. When I was home, I didn't get any rest at all. And sometimes I'd be out on assignment. I'd come back from an assignment somewhere and bongo in here. I'd come back home and they'd have me out there going door to door. So I've had my, you say, well, Brother McElmurray, do you regret that? No, I do not, because I learned a lot. I learned how evangelists work. And by the time I left there, I was sick of it because I knew that was wrong. It was not what they practiced in the church that I came from, but it was a scriptural church. Anyway, so this word for Egypt, this is why I went to seminary. I wasn't trying to impress anybody. That's an entirely different word. What does it mean? To conquer, completely encircle, and control. No way out. That word escape means when it says, shall not escape. They will not escape because that means to completely encircle and then hold. Now, don't take this the wrong way. What does God have to do to make you understand you got a Lord, you got a God, you got a Savior, you got a King, and He's in control? And if all of a sudden this building falls in on you, I hope it doesn't hurt much when it comes down, but all of a sudden you're going to wake up and say, Hallelujah, and you're going to be in heaven. Your body's just still going down here. They'll have to get an oversized casket. Well, maybe they won't anymore. But I was always afraid when I was so big. I thought, Lord, my stomach, they'll have to get one that's got a bump that goes up over it there. So the truth of the matter is, how much more exacting can you get? All you have to do is get you these concordances, Strong's Exhaustive Concordances. They're cheap, and they're good. They're exhaustive, but and you just need to get you one of them. And they shall be there. You need to check out what I'm saying. That's why I'm presenting it. Now we go on over and we see only 1/3 of Israel's Jewish population will make it to the Negev wilderness, where they will remain for the last 1,260 days of the tribulation period. They will come out at the Battle of Armageddon, retake Jerusalem, and go as far north as Hamath in Syria. How do I know that? That's the northern extension of the Abrahamic land grant. I had to measure the Abrahamic land grant. And I went over there and went to the very places where it was supposed to be, and I marked that thing off. And the truth of the matter is, they'll go to Hamath in Syria. Hamath was just across there, but it's up further to the north. I didn't go all the way to Hamath, but I did fly over it. And I don't want to tell you a fib, but I did fly over it, and I saw Hamath. And in Syria, as far west as the river of Egypt, that's a little river that goes down the Sinai, middle of the Sinai. That's not the Nile. That is not the Nile. Well, what's the name of it? The river of Egypt. It cuts down toward the south, out of the Mediterranean, it begins in the northern part, goes up and empties into the Mediterranean. It's called the River of Egypt. And yes, it flows 360 days a year, 365 and a quarter days. Now, it says about 1.7 to 1.6 million will go into the Negev. Remember I told you that this was, when I said, now, if it happened right now, I remember when I was teaching it, I said, if it happened right now, about 1.7 to 1.6 million will go into the Negev. I'll tell you right now, it'll be about 2.4 million will go into the Negev. That's about one-third of the population of Israel now. And it may be higher than that. I haven't checked it lately. Some 70% will fly. That's the 70% on the coast. Look, this is so reasonable. This is so logical. That's why they're not going to challenge me. I've had a couple of them talk to me about it. And when I got to talking to them, they started to say, well, what about... And I, by the time I finished with them, they were long gone. And I had an old car that had smoke. Now, I think I saw smoke coming out of their lattice rectum. I said I was going to clean up my language. And the other 30% will go by surface transportation or on foot. This will leave one-third of the woman Israel there in the present borders of Beersheba, and the Antichrist in control of the rest of the land from Dan to Beersheba. Isaiah 38:8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and a third shall be left therein. About 30% of the Jewish population lives east of the coastal plain from Tel Aviv to Haifa. They will go into the Negev via land routes. As Revelation 12:6, the woman fled in the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her 1,260 days. That's how 70% of the Israeli population lives on the coast from Tel Aviv to Haifa. They will be taken to this Negev via a massive airlift. Revelation 12:14, the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness into her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a times. A time is 1 year, times 2 years, plus a half a year is 3.5 prophetic years. Listen, this is when I first came up here. I think the last time I taught this was 1996. And that's when this was put out. But I had already taught it before that. But I've learned a lot since then, and I've told you some of the things I've learned. The 1,260 days are finished when Armageddon ends with the second advent of the Messiah, at which time Israel again became the people of their God. You notice I started putting all this stuff in here? Hold on to this, because I gave this out to you a long, long, long time again. Now, Ken, have you got this one? Yeah, Ken, you have. You've learned how to tear up and ruin Bibles. God will extend his grace to the one-third that were driven out of the wilderness by the Antichrist and will give them a millennial of rest for 1,000 years. In the same city that he declared him to be spiritually desolate when they crucified his son and said they were no longer his children, there he will declare him to be restored as his children, the firstborn. We'll be the firstborn down there with him. We'll come back with him. The sun will rule and reign over them and all the earth under the heaven for 1,000 years. Zechariah 13:9, here he comes back at the end. And I will bring forth the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined. The dross, you heat it, and the dross gathers on the top, and then you slide off the dross. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and them as gold is tried. Gold's the same way. You want to get rid of the dross on the top of it. And God's going to get rid of a lot of dross in this time. And he said, and they shall call on my name and I will hear them. His name is Jehovah. And I will say it is my people. You know what Jehovah means to an Israeli? God. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. They'll call him Jesus too. Jeremiah 30:22-31:2. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it. He says, I'm going to do this. And until he hath performed the intents of his heart, he's going to do it. He's in the latter days. That's when he's going to do it. If we're not in the latter days, I'd like to know what the Sam Hill it is that we're looking at up in Washington and around the surface of the world, the moral status of this entire earth. He said, at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Now, this is Jeremiah. Now, remember about that, what was written in the New Testament about this? The people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. See, this is in the Old Testament too. That's the wilderness of the Negev. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. You talk about rest. That one third that gets through there and God brings them through, they're going to have a rest and a joy like the world has never, like they have never known before in their lives. Now, I like hair, Rosie. Looks good.